Nehemiah chapter 1. All the building structure requires a good foundation. There's no doubt about it, and that's one of the reasons why the building inspector put a lot of emphasis on foundation. Before they build anything, they had to have a nice foundation. Otherwise, guess what? They get rejected. Without the foundation, all the materials on top of it, we call building, is nothing more than assembly of steel beams or the 2x4s, 2x6, and it's concrete. Soon as there is no when there is no foundation, as soon as the storm comes, everything collapses. In Christian life, there are the two things that are essential as the follower of Jesus Christ. We must do two things daily. What are they? Two things. Can you guess? Very good. Praying is not an option. It's not 911 code. You know, people don't... I hate to hear this. Somebody say, well, say a prayer for us. Well, say a prayer for me. What do you think that is? Some sort of quarter that you put in the vending machine? No, it's not. I know what they're saying. We often call out to God after 911 events and when the troops goes into the war. Yes, it is nothing wrong with the praying for that. Why not the rest of the time? Why not seek God who made the whole universe? Why not seek the God of the universe every day, every hour? According to the word, we should pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean we have to walk around like a rain monk and mumble something all day, all night and run into the wall like that. No, that's not what it meant. But constant prayer with a communion, communication with God is essential. And reading the word. More and more churches walking away from the word. Should I make an example with like an Episcopalian church? This denomination declared homosexuality is not a sin. Is it? According to, I don't know what kinds of Bible they are reading, but my Bible says homosexuality is a detestable thing and they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Some of you guys know about the Calvary Chapel and some of you guys don't. Calvary Chapel is not a denominational church. Denominational churches send whatever they get from the offering and they send it to headquarters. We don't. We are to be kind of worldly business sense, we are individually owned and operated. Make sense? Nobody owns our church except Jesus Christ. And whatever we receive from you guys, it stays in Sarita. It does not go to the Costa Mesa to help the Chuck Smith or Robert Ford and Calvary Tucson. I do not report to Robert Ford. There's accountability things, but I report to God Himself. If I go berserk and I go doing bad things, yes, there was a disciplinary board that get assembled to kick me out. Lord willing, that won't happen. But it's very much different. Because we are denominational church, we can declare just about anything I feel like, but that's up to you guys to listen and not come to church. But other denominational church tend to, whatever the headquarters say, they all have to follow the suit. If not, they have to walk away. Methodist Church, I believe it was started from Wesley, wasn't it? Why the reason the Methodists? Because they are very methodical when it comes to studying the Word of God at the beginning. John Wesley was a phenomenal scholar, but they walked away. Now, United Methodist Church is one of the most liberal church you will ever find. Is this a trashing time? No, it's not. Don't go to church just because it has a church shingle. Go to church where they've been teaching the Word of God. If not, walk away from it, because that, I wouldn't consider that as church. If the body of Christ would not honor the Word of God, which is Word of God, is God called Himself, it is Him. Because Jesus Christ is the Word of God. You don't agree? Look at John 1:1. That is the foundation, two things. Praying to God, let your heart known to God. Now, it's not because God doesn't know, because we need to communicate to Him, and let's know His heart through what? The book, the Word. Beginning of the true service for God starts with a burden in the person's heart that God lays in the person's heart. We do not receive good work. Let me rephrase it. We do not start a good work in our own way. Why? According to your Bible and my Bible, there's nothing good in us. Agree? Because we are born with a sinful nature, there's nothing good in us. That means we cannot do anything good. You might say, here's the non-believers doing good things. Yeah, because God gave them a little bit of conscience in their heart. And a lot of times they do that for their own benefit. To pat on their back or do something. Or tax shelter. I guess if somebody donates a lot of money, they say, oh, can I have a tax deductible receipt, please? See, God put the burden in a person's heart, and that person seeks God's face. And either God's going to do the miracle, or God's going to equip the person to do the work. This is something I learned from my pastor, Robert Furr, in Calvary Tucson, that if somebody, God is laying the burden in that person's heart, God is calling that person. Don't try to look for somebody else to do the job. So if you felt that God is telling you to start a ministry within the Calvary Chapel of Sarita, pray about it, come see me. And you might say, you know what, I don't have a degree, I don't have knowledge. Neither do I. I've never been in a Bible college. I've never been in a seminary. Like Jack said, I can't even speak English correctly. So what? God used donkeys. God does not look for somebody who is capable. God look for somebody who is available. If somebody is looking for God's direction, He will make it clear to the people. It's okay. The reason I'm saying this is we will find Nehemiah receiving the burden from God. Let's pay attention, okay? Mm-hmm. I said this before. This is a principle we must remember. Without God, we cannot. Without us, God will not. Let me repeat. Without God, we cannot. Without us, God will not. God will use anyone. Esther was told by the Mordecai, her uncle, who knows, you are born for this purpose. Now, we see Ezra first, Nehemiah, and followed by Esther. Three books, back to back. They are about the same contemporary, same era. Which book should be the first? Which book should be the first? Esther. And followed by Ezra. And then Nehemiah. Esther talks about the purpose of an individual life that called by God. Then God brings those people back to the Jerusalem, who was scattered because they were unfaithful to God,
So they are coming back, and the first thing they do, what do? They build a temple called God. And the second thing they do, they need to do, is building the wall around the Jerusalem. So they may be protected, they may be above, beyond reproach. American settlers in 200-some years ago, maybe even 300 years ago, whenever they arrived to any particular place and they considered that place as a town, guess what they built first? Church. Second thing, school. Now, we build the Hollywood movie set first. And the casino. And the bar. And then they might say, oh yeah, church. We got to have one of those things. Just to have a little bit of sprinkle icing on the cake. It must be, we must have that same attitude. Number one, we got to have a proposal in our heart. Number two, we got to have a temple in our heart. And put the wall around us to defend our faith. That's where we come up with the word apologetic. It's not something we need to apologize to somebody. As a matter of fact, one of the Bible, I wouldn't call it Bible teacher, but he called himself Bible teacher, so I would call him Bible teacher. He's one of the TV Bible teacher from somewhere in the Florida. I wouldn't name the particular person's name, but anyway, he said that kind of silly things, you know, in that matter, we can do whatever we want to do. No, we don't. We have to do according to what God wants. Nehemiah, as we learned from last week, Nehemiah is holding the great position as a cupbearer. It's honor and respectability. He was the second generation captive. Not only was he a man with an honor in the kingdom of Persia, he was a man of prayer. And he was deeply committed to the Word of God. I do not believe he had the scripture that he at home. Maybe he did, maybe not. Most likely not, because he was second generation captive. That means they came to this kingdom of Babylon that turned into Persia without anything other than clothes on their back. So whatever he learned from his father and mother, that was the only scripture he had in his heart. With that scripture in his heart, he is still committed to God. What a testimony, isn't it? We complain, moan, and gripe about not enough resource in America. Yeah, right. What you guys hear, what I hear in a 1 week, is more than some people get it in a lifetime in third country. Trust me. We are so much exposed to Christianity that we kind of have that callous mindset. Setting will start from verse 1 of chapter 1, Nehemiah. Let's read. The word of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, his name is not a Bob, so I have a hard time reading it. It came to pass in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, some of you virgins say Susa, in the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah. I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. When is the time the Kislev? Kislev means it's December. And the 20th year of the king Artaxerxes. This is the stepson of Queen Esther. If you must know the little detail, it is somewhere around 444 or 445 B.C., where is the location? Susa or Shushan, the capital city of Persia kingdom. In other words, that is at the time is a literal capital of the world, known world around the area. Verse 3. And they said to me, the survivors who were left from the captivity in the province that are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down. Its gates are burned with the fire. Report from Jerusalem totally changed Nehemiah's daily routine. He's no longer just happy-go-lucky cupbearer of King Artaxerxes. All of a sudden, he has a burden in his heart. That's a burden God put in his heart. Now, I use the word because of lack of term, burden. If I am the one who has a lot of vocabulary, then, or the better word, I should say assignment. Probably that's a better choice word. Assignment from God to do His work. Verse 4. Let's find out what kinds of assignment God is giving to him. So it was when I heard this word that I sat down and wept and mourned. You might want to underline that. Wept and mourned for many days. And I was fasting, praying before God of heaven. Don't raise your hand because some of us may not do it. When we hear the disastrous news, whether it's a good or bad, do we cluck our tongue? Oh, well, that's too bad. Do we do that or do we pray for them? What if that's not a Christian? What if that's, let's say, a strip bar was burned down and some people got killed. Let's say the dancers, the patron and the customers got killed. Do we cluck our tongue and, well, good things that place burned down, or should we pray for their soul or their family? Maybe through this disaster they may know Jesus. Shouldn't we have a compassion? Shouldn't we have a mercy like Jesus had mercy while we were yet sinners? Let's be more sensitive. This is something I was challenged and I tried to make myself available to try to do the right things. Is that we often get into the mode hanging along with the Christians only. How are we going to spread the word to the non-Christians? At the marketplace, at workplace? Remember, we are the only Bible they were ever going to read. Before we go any further, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask your anointing upon the word. Let your word be spoken. Let our heart be changed. Let us understand what the meaning of man and woman of prayer. We are asking you this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I asked you to underline a couple of things, moan and wept. And I don't know if I asked you to underline fasting. They are very much connected. What's the meaning of fasting? It means voluntary action of abstinence from consuming food. In other words, skipping meals. So, do we skip? Some people say that, well, I'm fasting. Well, that's nice of you to tell me. Do I need to know? No. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, please. Of course, we are going to deal with the fasting more in depth on one of these Sunday mornings as soon as we get to the chapter 6 of Matthew. Chapter 6. Verse 16, please. They're all red letters, so this must be Jesus speaking, right? Moreover, when you fast, do not be like a hypocrite with a sad countenance. What does it mean? It's fancy words for saying with your mugshot. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men and to be a fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, then, when you fast, anoint your head.
Oh. I think it's still there. Look at your last time.